and welcome to Wine with Meg and Mel. We're here to help you navigate the world of wine. I'm Mel Gilchrist, joined by Master of Wine, Meg Brotman, and we are back for the third and final round of Wines to Drink at Italian Restaurants.
Yes, so we're doing all the ones that I didn't get that you actually specifically told me to get. And I was just like, okay, well, we'll do those. So Mel just said, let's just finish it off and get the ones that I told you. And I've got a couple of... one very interesting one.
And we've had so much feedback on these Italian, like, restaurant-type episodes. So thanks. Glad you're enjoying them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we went to Scopri last Friday and we know our wine lists.
Yeah.
But if you didn't, that list, oh, which is huge, would just be because it's very Italian.
And it feels like it's a very practical way to approach the wines, actually. So we are going to get into the last few Italian wines that you might encounter. You're obviously going to find other ones, but these are the
endless.
These are the main things that you can expect to find. But first, we have something super exciting to talk about. So Yolumba is bringing Rockpool out to the winery to do like a guest chef
into
event.
The Barossa. It looks amazing.
I knew you would be obsessed with this.
Well, it runs for the whole of September, I think, or September.
Three events.
It's $250. You get a 6-course Rockpool meal.
Yeah.
Plus, God only knows how many wines. Can you imagine? And I'm sure their wines that they'll be bringing out, they won't be bringing out their, you know, Y series. They will be bringing out some seriously gunned wines for everyone to taste. And I don't know what it actually is, but it's in Tank 1 and Tank 2. So it sounds like their
it's private dining room. Yeah, it's super cool.
I don't know whether they've converted old tanks.
It sounds sick.
It would be amazing. So get to the Barossa.
Courses of Rockpool.
I know.
So if you are in Adelaide, you are in luck because this is happening out at the winery and they're also doing a bus for like $50. You get a bus from the city out there.
Oh, that's perfect. That's really good.
Because,
I mean, there's accommodation, obviously, a lot in the Barossa.
Yeah.
But if you're staying, stay in Adelaide. Yeah. Adelaide's got great restaurants as well. Yeah. But then get transported out to have Rockpool. I mean, it's a brilliant idea.
It really is. And, I mean, God, if you're a fan of Rockpool, which most people are.
Cheaper than going to Sydney or Melbourne to try Rockpool.
Yeah. Just treat yourself to a weekend out there, I reckon. I'm thinking about it.
I agree. Yeah, I know, but my weekends are almost booked up for September.
So if you're interested, you can find out more on the Yolumba website under events. And thank you, Yolumba, for supporting the podcast. Now, before we get into it, Meg, what you been drinking?
So I've been drinking – we went to Tumbarumba a few years ago and I had this sparkling wine from Kuruba – how would you say that? Kurubaira. It's a road. Anyway, it's a winery.
Yep.
And we're really impressed by the sparkling. But Pete wanted the other night a Shiraz. He wanted a red because it was cold. And so we pulled out this 2019 Tumbarumba Shiraz. So Tumbarumba's at a little bit of elevation. It's cooler.
Yep.
Had a little bit of spice. It was still quite warm in alcohol. I think it was about 14% alcohol. It was a lovely drop to go with a sort of a ragu-y kind of dish.
Yeah,
and the
winery
that you don't really know, I don't know whether they sell outside of, in retail or whatever. I've never seen them. But we bought a bit of wine when we were up there. And so I delved into the bottom of the winery. Yeah, it's 13.5% alcohol. But then it says 8 standard drinks.
Tumbarumba. You don't get a lot of Tumbarumba.
No, exactly. It's one of those. For those of you who don't know where Tumbarumba is, if you go to sort of Gundagai, it's around.
Where's Gundagai?
New South Wales, where the dog sits on the tucker box.
Oh, yeah.
5 miles from Gundagai. It's just over the Victorian border, but heading up into the mountains.
Right.
So there's a famous mountain there and like keep skiing and stuff around there. So you descend down from that mountain into Tumbarumba. It's very beautiful.
Okay.
Worth a visit. Great pubs.
And great pubs. What's your fun fact?
Okay. Well, these dudes in Santa Barbara in America did this thing where they were going to age wine underwater. It was a whole marketing thing and you could pay for it.
Age wine everywhere now.
Well, it turns out they've just been done. The Santa Barbara County District Attorney's Office announced Wednesday that it destroyed 2,000 bottles of wine and other alcohol illegally possessed for sale in connection with an illegal underwater wine aging and sale operation. So they didn't ask for permission.
What?
To do it.
Were they just going down to the local jetty and dropping them into the water?
They also didn't have a license to sell alcohol.
Oh.
And the food and drug dudes, safety officers said, well, we don't know that the wine's actually fit for consumption. So they destroyed it. The guys are actually, I think, going to prison. Oh, so they didn't have a alcohol sales permit and they didn't have a valid business license. So they were absolute crooks through and through. So,
and
2,000 bottles.
Is there any validity to the concept of aging wine underwater?
Well, I think it maybe comes down from, you know, that Titanic champagne they found. It has higher pressure.
Right.
But whether or not that impacts
the aging process
and gets through the glass, I really don't know, because they've done it in outer space too. They've taken wine to outer space now to see what it's like in zero gravity. But anyway, I just thought these guys, seriously, they're called Ocean Fathoms, 50 Fathoms LLC. Okay. So they got done and the wine got destroyed. So I just thought that was a little bit of funniness.
Okay, that is a bit of fun.
Yeah, America.
America, only in America. Now, on to our Italian wines. What have we got, Meg?
So do you want me to go through all four?
Yeah, tell us what we got coming up.
So the first one we have is a Suave Classico.
Good.
The second one we have is a Lambrusco.
Oh, I can't roll my tongue like that. Lambrusco. Oh,
it's a genetic. It's a genetic thing. Brusco. No. Brusco. Then we have a Barbera, because you told me I had to get a Barbera.
You have to have a Barbera.
And then we've got a Chianti.
Real Chianti.
Classico, because I forgot to get that in the last episode. So we're covering off Lambrusco, I think, could make a comeback this summer, because even though a lot of them are very, very sweet, if you can find a dry one, they're actually super, super, super refreshing. But anyway, I'm not sure. It was $8.55, so I'm not holding out much hope.
Yeah, I'm not sure how we'll go with that one. Let's start with Suave.
So Suave, the first one, it's Pura Pan Suave, which is the one that you most often see.
Yep.
It's Suave Classico. So the town of Suave is a walled-in city, and the Classico region is on the terraced vineyards, literally around the walls. The main grape variety is Garganega, which most Australians will pronounce Garganega.
Yeah.
Because that's how it's that's how we look at it. It can be blended with Trebbiano, Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc. What they're trying to do now to improve the breed of Suave is to actually reduce the amount of Trebbiano that's in there, because Trebbiano is quite neutral and is a real filler.
Yeah.
So it doesn't actually really add enormously to the wine.
Yeah.
Generally unoaked.
Okay.
Although Pura Pan does do an oaked one. For Suave, it's around 13.5% usually, and I tend to get like a green – what's that green melon? Is it honeydew melon? Not the cantaloupe. I get like a honeydew melon character, floral, again, that lovely acidity. So Suave's in the Veneto region.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not far from Verona. It's about a 40-minute drive from Verona. So
okay.
The Classico region obviously is a bit lower yielding because it's on terraces. Further out, there's the big river, and that's where they get the volume. So stick with a really good producer. And I love Suave. This is a 2022.
You've filled your own glass up, but not mine, Meg.
Sorry. can I just say, not filled. I have literally
thank you.
Got, 2 centimetres of wine. And this was $33.30. Now, it was probably 35 or something, because when you buy the 6 at Dan's, you get the discount. Well, I'm not sure.
Is that about normally what you can expect to pay?
Yeah, for Pura Pan.
Yeah.
I could have got you a $20 one, but I wanted to show something that good. And I've drunk this a lot. They've just built this. Their original winery was in the town of Suave.
Oh, yeah.
So there'd be little tractors going up and down the streets of these very narrow cobbled streets, but they've built this new Schmicko fabulous winery further out. Oh, is that thunder?
Yeah, still worrying. Wow. It's I find that there's a bit more fruit in this than all the white ones
Yes.
that we did
Yes.
in that episode, in the white wine Italian episode, there's a bit more like pear and maybe even like a canned pineapple type thing going on.
Yeah, literally, our house is shaking. That's like from the thunder. It's that's the thing I like about Suave, because it is, it's got the, and it's more melon, and you don't tend to sort of see that in Italian. No. Yeah, Italians sort of have the almonds and the white flowers and that sort of pithiness, but this is, and it's because it is around 13.5%. It's, there's texture to it as well.
It's got this like almost oily type texture, which is really yummy, but then this super nice acid coming in strong on the finish.
It's beautiful.
That's lovely.
I had this in Suave with white truffle on big pappardelle and just butter.
Yum.
I had a glass of this. That was just delicious. By myself. I'd had my flight delayed. It was just, and I couldn't land. I had to get a bus from Milan. I was supposed to land in Verona. It was all just horrible. But anyway, I sat down to this incredible meal, had a glass of this. I'd been to the winery and all was fixed.
So in the other episode where we did the white Italian wines, we were tasting stuff like Pecorino, which, as we say, was more like nutty and less fruit forward. So in terms of the food that you would pair it with, how would you pair this one differently?
I don't know if you've had it recently, that there seems to be a bit of a trend to be putting passion fruit and kiwi fruit on seafood. I've had it in a Thai restaurant.
Okay.
Not a fan, but the dish that I had, it was in Auckland. It was like prawns tossed in, I'd say, rice flour and then just fried, so they got that lovely soft batter on the outside. And they had, it had dots of passion fruit over it, and I wasn't a fan, but that would match beautifully.
It doesn't sound like something you're from an Italian restaurant, though. No. That is our specific brief.
Okay. So just a grilled seafood would be beautiful. I mean, eggplant, you know, melanzane.
Yeah, nice.
With it, like an eggplant parmigiana, but a good quality one. Just simple calamari, you know, with an aioli. Because it's got the acidity to deal with fried food.
It does. It's got a nice acid line.
Even a really oily fish, you know, it's quite a stinky, oily fish, it could go well with, because it would, there's so much of that melon fruit. For me, it's just a great wine to say, I've just come back from Queensland, so nice and warm. Hello, summer.
Yeah.
Serve chilled. I probably haven't got it chilled down enough. Thanks, Elliot, for not putting them in the fridge for me, because I had to go to work. But
yeah,
I love Suave, and you see it a lot.
You do see it a lot.
And the Classico and the Reserva, seriously, just kind of ignore that, because
how come?
Well, I think it's the Italians love a term, as we know, and for us wine geeks, it gives an idea of, you know, oh, it might be lower yielding or whatever. But for the average Joe, they want to know what Suave tastes like.
It's not going to be a huge difference to the varietal. No. Okay, cool. Well, that was super yummy. That's definitely one to try when you're next out at your Italian restaurant. Now we're moving to reds.
So now we have a Bellini Lambrusco dell'Emilia. So Lambrusco comes from Emilia Romagna, so the food haven of Italy. So Parma ham comes from here. Modena, so balsamic vinegar is just, they're all within, you know, half an hour's drive of each one. And so you can go to a, you know, balsamic vinegar factory, and then you can go and have some fantastic ham. And Parmigiano Reggiano comes from here. Food bowl.
Yeah.
It's always amazed me that they make the least exciting one. But I'm guessing, I went to Lambrusco and I didn't realise that there were, I think, 17 different varieties that you can make Lambrusco from, and most of what we see is a sweet, lowish alcohol wine.
Why is that the case? Is that just tradition in the region?
Yeah, and that's what the market sort of wanted. That's what they can sell. When you go there, there's actually dry wines.
Yeah, okay.
And they're really acidic and they're quite good. I did a tasting with it was a huge like a carve cooperative, the Italian version of a carve cooperative. And they had little things of like, what are they called? Crostini, the little dried bread with truffle and mushroom sort of blobs on top of it with oil, and they went so well with the food. It was sort of, it was September-y harvest time, so it was still warm. So this is an IGT, so it indicates, my God, that's a heavy bottle for $8.55. It's sparkling Lambrusco. You can get it in white, red and rosé. It's a semi-dry, as they call it. It's got a lovely bright ruby, purpley, cherry red colour.
Yeah, it's a funky colour. I was not expecting it to be sparkling when you pulled off the screw cap.
Yes. It's frizzante. It's not sparkling. It's not spumante.
You know what? It actually smells really yum.
Yeah. It smells super fruity. It smells like confected lollies, raspberries and plums. Red frogs.
Yeah, like red licorice, but like perfume and sweet plum.
Just while I'm on it, I have to give a shout out. Many years ago, I went to New Hampshire and I was working with Sheila from Circa Wines. She's just retired and she listens to us. So she feels like I'm in the room. She's the best woman that I have, well, the best person I've ever traveled with in terms of sales. She had snacks and napkins and she's just gorgeous. So if you're listening, Sheila, I say hello from across the waters and I hope you enjoy retirement.
That's nice.
Not that Lambrusco reminds me of you, darling.
Yeah, Lambrusco is an interesting lead into that.
So see the acid on that. It's huge. It's got quite a lot of tannin, drying tannin finish, but it's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Super chilled. Ice in there.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. What's the alcohol?
It's 8.5.
And so they use this term amabile, which means, I think, soft. I think it's like amiable, like it translates. It means soft. That's what, and that's how they describe the style of the wine. $8.55.
Jeez. So then, if you've tasted
higher,
let's
end.
Go then higher end, but ones that are still have sweetness. What are they like?
They're,
because I think I've only ever tasted ones like this.
Yeah, all of the sweet ones I felt were a bit like this. I mean, the white, rosé, they were moderate alcohol and that sort of frizzy and, you know.
Yep.
But the ones that really blew my mind, and I cannot, they made ones out of each of the different grape varieties on the reds.
Uh-huh.
And you could actually tell a difference, and they were searingly dry. They were very light in colour. They didn't have the plumminess. They had that plummy colour. They had more of a like a Nebbiolo colour almost.
Okay.
And they were really, really good wines. And 13.5% alcohol, so they were riper.
So in terms of here, you're at an Italian restaurant, you see Lambrusco on the menu, there is most likely going to be tasting this.
And you sit down, you order a glass of this and you get the menu and you just sip away while you decide
what to
eat.
But they're not
going to
serve it with ice, surely.
No, normally. They serve it chilled though.
Yeah.
And this, just think red sauce. Just think a really basic pomodoro with basil sauce.
Yeah.
That would work really, really well with that. I like it.
I don't mind it. I actually think people who like sparkling Shiraz will probably like it.
Yeah, and it's not super sweet. It's not like sickly.
No, it's not super sweet.
It finishes clean and fresh and makes you want a big bowl of pasta.
It's like sparkling Shiraz but less heavy, like it's a bit more lighter. And
it's just very simple.
It is.
But it's not meaning to be anything else. It's just supposed to be an easy, you know.
I have to say it's a bit of fun and I've enjoyed having it in a couple of sips, but there's no way I'm ordering it.
No. No. I would actually, if it was a hot summer's day, lunchtime, I would actually order a glass of it and and have it with some prosciutto, something with fat in it, parma ham, obviously, chunks of parmigiano, reggiano.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would, and Bologna's in this area, so, you know, the traditional bolognese sauce. It's not a, It's a beverage.
Well, no, it's not designed to be a super fancy or complex or whatever.
$8.54,
mate. Yeah. Not bad. All right. Okay, so that was fun. We haven't covered Lambrusco before, so I think that was a good choice.
Yeah. I'm surprised how heavy the bottle is.
It is. Why is it so heavy for a $9 bottle?
Cheap wine.
Yeah.
So now we're moving up to Piemonte and we have a Barbera d'Alba, Alba being another beautiful walled-in city, Barbera being the grape variety, and it's a Superiore, so it means it's a little bit riper.
Yep.
So we would expect more flavours. What do we get from Barbera, Mel?
Oh, it's all fruit. It's plum and cherry, maybe just a tiny bit of spice.
Just checking if it's cooled. No. Yeah. It's spicy.
Yeah.
Spicy fruit. What it reminds me of is when you, if you boil down berries and stuff and you put a little bit of vanilla in there, or it's all, but it almost has a peppery spice to it as well. It's very lifted.
What I've found in the past, yeah, true, I've gotten like a violet and stuff in the past. What I sometimes get with Barbera is like too much flavour for body sometimes. Like it's not necessarily a lot of oak used.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful flavours.
So this is – who's the producer? It's a Barbera d'Alba from Barak.
Barak.
Tanuta Barak. This was blah, 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 $29.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, getting up there, but it's – the acid, it's the thing I love about it. It's like Nebbiolo with more fruit.
It is. It's really fruity. And I kind of stand by my earlier comment that there's just so much flavour. But it's still pretty light in body.
It somehow. Is. Like, yeah, it is.
Which always is just really interesting in my head, is like dichotomy of Barbera.
But that's like, that's why I love a lot of Italian reds, because they're not tiring on your palate. This is quite light bodied.
No, true. Yeah,
I mean, this in an Italian restaurant, for me, it needs food because of the acid, and they're quite grainy, raspy sort of tannins.
Yeah.
What would I have this with? Oh, I had this agnolotti stuff with rabbit at Scopri the other day with butter.
All right.
God, that was so good. This would go well with that. But we had an Etna Rosso.
Oh, yum.
It was superb.
Okay, but what's agnolotti? Is that
agnolotti is a form of pasta. It's like a tortellini.
Oh, okay. Was it like a white sauce or a red sauce?
Butter.
Oh, just butter. Yeah, okay. So you wouldn't heavy.
I'm sure there's more than just butter in there, but that's what you kind of walk away. Right. Yeah, you don't, nothing with two.
You wouldn't go like a big lamb.
No.
Yeah.
No. I'd want something more earthy, savoury rather than the fruitiness with that. Yep. I mean, that could go with a duck.
Yep.
Because it is Pinot-esque fruit, not structure, but it is Pinot-esque fruit, so it could go with duck.
Yep.
I don't tend to order duck in restaurants.
But even just one of the more like flavoursome pizzas with like olives and salami and stuff.
Yeah.
Or
venison?
I am.
Do you think?
Maybe. I don't really eat venison, so I can't really speak for that. Yeah, okay. But that's yum. That's a good Barbera expression.
And you'll see it always has the variety on it. It'll be where it's from. So the Alba, and they basically tell you. So
does it matter? Like, is there a specific one we should be looking for?
For me, not really.
Yeah. Okay.
I usually go for Alba because it's sort of a little bit hillier. I tend to find it a little bit riper. But to be honest, I reckon if we did it from the various regions around Piemonte and lined them up, we would not be able to tell a difference. So it'd come down a little bit like Burgundy to producer rather than DOC or DOCG.
Yep.
Or DOC as it is. But there's your Barbera, because you told me I had to have one because it's having a little bit of moment in the sunshine. Is that right?
Yeah, well, and well, yes, but also I've just been out to a few Italian restaurants lately, and I notice it's always one of the options on the menu. So it's just good for people to have an idea. The other thing that I always like to do is when people are looking at the menu, they don't know how to pronounce it when they say it. So with Italy, you pronounce the E, suave, superior, re. You just said something else that pronounced the E in Italian, because a lot of people say suave. Because, but I see what they're doing, because with France, you don't pronounce the last letter.
Yeah, the French are just, you know, they make it so confusing. Yeah. And in Spanish, so you know, people, everything's pronounced as well.
Yes.
So, yes, it's accents on different parts of the word, but yeah, true. If you looked at that and you were speaking French, that would be suave, or sauve.
Yeah, so there you go. When you're in an Italian restaurant, pronounce every letter and the A. If it ends in E, it's like A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Suave.
Suave. Okay, what's up last?
Chianti Classico 2019 from Tenuta de Aceno.
Nice.
So that's A-R-C-E-N-O, because as Mel has told you, it's Ch. For C, and this is $38. So Chianti Classico, as we know, around the original part of Chianti, the original town. It's an historical winery situated near the medieval village of San Guzme, where one can still see the footprints of the Etruscan. Oh, the Etruscans.
Hmm.
Our Chianti Classico has all the typical characters of Sangiovese for Tuscany: aromas of wild violets, good acidity, and balanced tannins. 14.5%. So, would likely to have some oak aging, possibly older oak though. So, it doesn't really. Very rarely do you see new oak in Italian wines. More, we're seeing a little bit more in Barolo producers, modern Barolo producers, and modern Tuscan producers. But it's for me, it tends to be very much background.
Yep.
Someone's coming to get a glass now.
And someone's my son.
Oh, someone's your son. Okay.
So I just caught a look at this. What's with the rooster again?
That's Chianti. That's to show that it's a black rooster, that it's from – it's a DOCG.
Why rooster?
I don't know.
So every Chianti will have a rooster on it?
Yeah, usually on the top.
Okay.
Okay, I'll find out.
Okay, so in the meantime, I'll have a go. I remember last week the Sangiovese was all right, but it didn't knock our socks off.
No, and that was the one from San Gimignano, was it? Just a, I mean, it was a DOC wine.
Yes. Yeah, but it really, I didn't impress me that much. Oh, have you got the rooster?
The black rooster as a symbol of the military leg of Chianti.
Mm.
I wasn't expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
The black rooster was a historic symbol of the old military leg of Chianti. Initially, it only symbolised the specific Gallo Nero area, but soon the symbol became representative of the entire region of Chianti. Wow.
That is interesting.
Oh, so, and it's delicious.
It's a red ring around it means it's regular Chianti Classico, and a gold ring around it means it's a reserve. Huh, never knew that.
Yeah, that's crazy, actually.
So we there would have a red
ring. We're learning.
Ring. Yeah, I know. You never stop learning with wine. So Chianti, Tuscany, Sangiovese, all-rounder for Italian food. This can take you from, oh, well, we had our Etna Rosso, sidebar here, and we were having scallops, and Anthony, who owns Scoppy, came up and said, oh, you've got scallops, but you've ordered that wine. And I said, no, I actually think it could work, and it did. Because we just did the feed me thing. The wine did not overpower the scallops. The scallops still tasted delicious. Stood up. But that's a sidebar. This would be everything from pizzas to charcuterie.
This
to
is
salumi,
so yummy.
To pasta, to meat, big steak.
Yeah. Yeah. Super versatile.
Yeah. And everyone likes it.
Yes.
It's kind of one of your, all your friends love it kind of wines.
If you like a Pinot Noir, it's a really good place to go, I find.
Mm-hmm.
Like in terms of being lighter bodied and kind of easy.
Yep.
But the main reason I wanted to do this as compared to a Sangiovese, not from Chianti, is because literally this wine list I was looking at, one of them was a Sangiovese from Italy and one of them was a Chianti. I'm like, I wonder how many people reading this list even know that Chianti is also Sangiovese.
Probably not a lot.
Yeah. And it's like, is there how difference in the quality is going to be? And based off this very small study of last week's Sangiovese versus this Chianti, Chianti all the way.
Absolutely. I'm just having a look at what your prices were. So your Chianti was $20 a glass.
Mm-hmm.
And your Sangiovese Toscana was $17. So spend the $3.
Spend the $3 on that glass. Yeah, because that wine was
fine.
Yes. But
this has got so much more length, concentration, flavour to it.
Yeah.
That wine that we had would be more your pizza wine. This could go with everything. It's so much more versatile than the other one. And they age really well. And to be honest, you don't have to spend mega amounts on them.
On Chianti.
Yeah, in a bottle shop. You know, you can get them for, I'd be looking around the $35 to $45 mark.
Yeah.
But even that.
But yeah, for $35, you're going to get a good Chianti for sure. Yeah, and
they're going to age.
Yeah.
I love it.
And this is yummy, but this is a 19 and this is drinking really well at the moment. It doesn't need age. Like it could, but
no, I agree. It's nice. When they're very young, they are very unfriendly.
Yeah.
They're just the raspy tannins and too much, but they do come into their own. And it's just nice not to have that huge oak influence.
Yeah, it is. Isn't it? It's
just lovely, it's like relying on the fruit.
Just enough to have integrated flavours and rounded it out without overpowering anything.
Exactly.
Awesome. Okay, well, this was great. We've reached the end of what to order at an Italian restaurant.
I
hope it helps too. If you have any specific ones that we haven't mentioned, message us and we can tell you a little bit about it or something. And to finish off today, we do have a final drop. What do we got, Meg?
So we've got the Yolumba Organic Shiraz. So it's sustainably made. It does know, interestingly, it's the Yolumba Gin. So it's all about making sustainable wines, giving back. And no GI, interestingly, it's South Australian on it, which I think is because the most important fact is that it's organic that and it's organic. Sustainable.
Yeah.
And it's the only way we as an industry are going to meet net zero for any industry, but our industry, is if people like Yolumba and Treasury Wines, the big people,
totally
take the lead. Because I know it's a lot of pressure on their shoulders to do it, but they have a lot more resources, people, winemakers, everything that can get behind this. So it's really good that they're making an effort. I think it's interesting that it's literally called Organic Shiraz. That is what you're going to see.
Yeah.
And in terms of the flavour profile, you know, it's just a good representation of South Australian Shiraz. There's oak in there, but it's
not overdone, and I really like that.
And it just feels a little fruitier and more like
bodied. It's a bit fresher and lighter, which I really enjoy. This is kind of more my style of Barossa Shiraz. It's really lovely.
It's got some floral notes, and it's good for the planet. And if you want to support organics, which we should be, then go for it. I have no idea on the price. You'll have to find that out.
Let me see. Okay, it's $22.
Okay.
So that's about right. Yeah, nice.
No, that all fits. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done, Yolumba. And, we should give a shout-out to all the big companies who are doing.
Oh, it's really important, and all industries should be working towards this sort of thing.
Well, we have to because we will have – if we don't do it ourselves, we're going to be forced to by legislation. But it's good to see, you know, to build, okay, it's a family-owned winery, but it's still pretty big and Yolumba. Yeah. Just good to see the big companies doing some of the heavy lifting for us, I guess
is
the best way of putting it.
For sure. So if you like Shiraz and care about sustainability, this could be a good one for your weekend wine. That is all for us this week. As always, everything is going to be in the show notes. Make sure you're following us on Instagram to see all of the wines that we've tasted. And until next time, enjoy your next glass of wine.
And drink well.